for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 24th, 2014. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service, teaching on the place of rest at his table.
Praise God. I think there's a word that God wants to share with us. I believe it's a call to rest. You know, Lord, He wants us to rest. Is that right?
Amen.
Can you think of a time when you know, the Lord saved you, and He saved you, right? You're born again. Think back to a time when He saved you, or as you know, sometimes I think of a time when He rescued you. It could have been it. You know what I mean? Maybe He physically saved you from something. He saved you from peril. You know, there was likely an opportunity at that moment for you to gain a new perspective. I don't know why it is, but sometimes at that moment, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I thought, well, Patty was sharing just a moment ago. She said, you know, sometimes they tear the walls down. Oh, we found some stuff. They need to fix that. And we didn't know that was there. To fix it, you got to change. You have to change. When she said, was talking about that, I thought, you know, change is good. None of us likes change. But if we don't change, we don't go on. If we don't change with the Lord, in His economy, we're not changing. She spoke of from glory to glory, the thing that's deliverance, new and fresh every day. God wants to do something new and fresh in our hands. We're not changing. You know? If we're not changing. You know, there's an old saying sometimes when my son and my kids, when we lived up north, we would go skiing. When we were younger, we were a little church up there. We lived close to some mountains, and we'd go skiing there a little. There's an old saying, if you're not falling, you're not learning anything. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, you and I, we fear the big mess. The thing we got to see is the big mess. It's, oh, if I fall, my failure. God wants us to see those things so that we can change them. If we don't see them, we're not changing them. If we can't see it, we're just living in status quo. He wants us to change. We need to change with Him. But everything sometimes God does, He does for the purpose of causing us to gain a new perspective. I hope you see this word. This is a parable. I believe the Spirit of God wants to say something. Jesus, I believe, wants to speak something in our heart. I believe He wants to say something from His perspective that He wants you and me to get in on what is His perspective about. What does He say about things? Think differently. I think of the time in my life where God rescued me. I mean, for months. You know, God, you know, for all of that, it's something God needs to do in my life. For months after, I could think about that school. I moved to tears. That God had saved me for something. God rescued me for something in a purpose. You know, what was the side of the purpose that God has for you? That's kind of what I've been hearing, even as things that God transfers. Don't lose sight of the purpose. Sin will call you to lose sight of the purpose. The enemy will steal your purpose. The enemy, the thief, the robber, will rob you of your purpose, of your vision, of that clarity that sees Jesus for who He is and what He wants to be in your life. You know, there's a testimony here that God wants to speak with us this morning. In Matthew 22, we're going to read in this prayer. We'll pray and ask the Lord to this minister to us. Lord, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your fullness. Thank You for Your... We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. In Your presence is fullness. We thank You for that presence. Lord, we thank You for a fullness that we just confess we did not have apart from You. Lord, we thank You that You're just trying to reveal that to us. You're trying to witness that to our very self, our very nature. You're seeking to witness that to us, that, Lord, we need Your presence more and more. Can't do without it. We really need Your fullness. We ask You, Lord, give us Your fullness and Your increase. We ask You for the work and presence of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The parable, amen. The parable Jesus says in Matthew 22, I believe beginning in verse 2, let's read. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying to those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. my oxen and my fat cat livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Come to the wedding feast. You know, to the point of note that Jesus is calling. He's saying, come to the feast. Come to the wedding feast. That's a parable, but you know, I believe the word, I believe in the historical nature of the word, but I believe the word, it was good for them that day, and just as pertinent as it was when he spoke to them, it's material for us. He sounds good if that's our heart. The Spirit of God, it makes the Word alive. The living Word come alive. He's trying to speak back to our heart and say, I want you to come to the feast. I got a feast for you. I want you to come to the feast. I want, there's a purpose for your life. It's a feast that I've laid out prepared. You know, the more you read this, let's just read on. He says it again. He sent the slaves out. He says, come to my feast, verse 5. But they paid no attention. They went their way. One to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent out his armies to destroy those murderers and set fire on their city on fire. See his wrath. Then it says in verse 8, then he said to his slaves, the wedding was ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways where you find them there. Invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out to the streets and gathered together all that were found both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. I won't stop there, but I want to just draw your attention to something. It leaves you and me wondering that there were some there that were not worthy. You know, those who were, you could say, on the guest list. Those who were invited, but the word says they're not worthy. You know, reading this makes me make this question. Well, what does it take to make a man worthy? What does it take? What's Jesus trying to communicate in this parable to me? What's he trying to say it takes for a man to be worthy? He said, well, he's talking about the saved and lost, right? We could all agree on that. He's talking about folks saved, folks lost. You know, sometimes we read this and we go, well, Lord God, I'm saved. We just kind of skim over it and we miss the point of what he's trying to say to us. We can say, well, I'm saved. You know, I'm with that saved bunch. I'm with that bunch that got saved, glory to God. They had their wedding clothes. They entered in. They were called the last. You know, we can see ourselves there and totally be blind to what Jesus is trying to communicate. It was those who were willing to come to the feast. Those who were willing, those who came. What does it take to make a man worthy? What does it take to make us honorable in his sight? You know, there were those that were the assumed ones. And they were the head of the guest list. They were called. They were supposed to be there. Jesus wanted them there. He called them. The Father wanted them to be there at the feast, but they didn't. They were on the guest list, but didn't come. And he said they weren't worthy. That will make us question ourselves, because we can say, well, you know, hey, we're that chosen bunch. We're that bunch. We assume. It's wrong to assume things. If we assume something too fast, we get ahead of Jesus and we miss the point. I think sometimes we're in danger of that. I think sometimes folks have been in danger of that. And we can miss the truth of what's being said. I think to make this practical and for us to get what I'm trying to communicate here, what I believe the Word's communicating, I want you to go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, I think, helps make this practical for you and me. I think David gets it. Psalm 23, he says this. Psalm 23, he says, you know, Psalm, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me, you restore my soul, you guide me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil, for you're with me, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Remember, I use that word, a reference to rest. There's a rest involved here. There's a comfort that Jesus wants to bring us into. Look what David says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. For you've anointed my head with oil. You know, David gets it. You prepare a table for me. It's a table for me. I think that's, you know, if you look, you examine why those missed it. Those that were invited, they were on the original guest list. They were invited, but for some reason they missed it. You know, they had other things. You can look in Luke chapter 14, it says they had other things to do. One had a farm, one had a team of oxen, one had a new wife. I got some busy things, and just please excuse me this time, but I can't show up. It's you know, it's important. I know you, but not that important to me. David said, you have prepared a table for me He took it personal. You have prepared a table for me that's in the presence of my enemies. You prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That to me, that says, there's no that word of comfort, but the fact that David says, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, says that, can you hear the word rest in there? Can you see rest in there? You prepared a table before me. My enemies, I mean, David knew something about the enemy. He was running around all the time being chased by the enemy. He knew that was what it was like to be chased by the enemies. And he says, you prepared, in all of that mess, and all that confusion, all that stir, the assault against my life, the fear, the anguish, the running, the whatever you can fill in the blank would be, you could find yourself there. David says, God, you prepared a table for me into the presence of my enemies. It says that it's a table of rest. I want you to turn back just a minute. We'll kind of go back and forth here, but turn back if you will to Matthew. Look with me at Matthew 22:10. It says that none of those slaves went out to the streets and they gathered together. And all that they found both evil and good, the wedding hall was, at last, it was filled with dinner guests. That those two words, dinner guests, that word dinner guests literally means this. It means it was filled with those reclining at the table. Does that sound like rest? It was filled with those who would recline at the table. Sounds like it's a table of rest. It sounds like David knew what he was talking about, that you prepared a table for me. David understood. David understood what it was God was trying to do at the table, at the feast that he was preparing. I don't believe it's any different. I think it's the same feast. I think it's the same feast. It's a table in the presence of our enemies that the Father's prepared for those who love Him. David says this in Psalm 23. If the New Living says something like this. It says, He guides me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. The New Living says, He guides me in the path of righteousness so that I might honor Him. In other words, the idea is for righteousness for His namesake. So in other words, that for His namesake, He leads me so that I might bring honor to Him. You know, this table is a place, an honorable place, so that I might be worthy. You know, maybe one of those that weren't worthy, He wants to make me worthy. I was reading something from Oswald Chambers. I don't normally read from his book, but I was online. It was something I clicked on. It took me over to Oswald Chambers, and I was reading about missions and what God, the kind of work He wants for us. And what is the missionary's mindset? He made this point. You know, and I'm paraphrasing, but the point was something like God never, He never told us to be looking to the corner people to give the prayer to prayer. Praying prayer is good. It brings regeneration if our heart's pure, right? But He said He told us to make disciples. To make disciples means that, you know, you and I have to have, we got to have a lifestyle. To make disciples, you don't do it with a one-shot prayer. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes He does. But in order for you and me to make disciples, that means we've got to spend some time with some folks. We've got to build some relationships with people, or you can't really make disciples. You know, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray, we shouldn't lead men to pray, but sometimes I think we've relied as men too much on a one-shot, one-time kind of prayer. We've relied on some thing, past thing, and then said, glory to God, I'm worthy. You know, these folks were over that. They were the bunch that should have been. They were called originally. They were on the original guest list, but they didn't see. There were some things that made them dishonorable. And I think for us to get the value of what the Lord would try to say to us, I think it's important to see that. You know, that there's some things that are the takeaway. Three things that are kind of the takeaway from this parable for me. That the table requires your presence. Those that received the benefit were not those who were the ones that were on the guest list that couldn't come. They weren't honorable. They weren't worthy. They got no benefit. They saw no benefit. Is that right? David said, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of enemies. In other words, I'm coming to the table. David goes on to say there, he says, you prepared that table. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows fullness. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sounds like he bought in. Sounds like he was all in. You know, it wasn't a one-time thing, just merely a prayer, but it was something he was all in. The table requires your presence, just so that you and I might be attentive to nothing else. Lord, sometimes we you know, like I said, there were those who had excuses. One had a field. Luke 14 says, one had a field, one had a new team of oxen, one had a new wife. And begin to make excuses. You know, because you could say, the invitation is not merely The invitation is not merely by those who have a birthright or position that you're holding to. That's a dangerous thing, just to hold a position. It's a dangerous thing to hold in a position on just a one-time prayer with no change today, with no change tomorrow, with the same old prospect of just hanging on a prayer, something to happen or something you did once. I'll tell you something, that's a falsehood. Because his life is a life of change. His life is a life of overcoming. His life is a life where we see he has a table. And it's a table for us. A table that requires our presence. I gotta be there. It's gotta be important enough for me to be there. They had the presence of mind. Some had the presence of mind to recognize it was a table like David. A table that was specially laid for his enemies so that the enemy might not overtake him. You know, now these weren't just mere churchmen. The ones that came and got the benefit of the feast were not mere churchmen. David was not just a mere churchman. He said, "You anointed my head with oil, and I'm gonna dwell in your house forever." He wasn't just a visiting churchman. He wasn't just doing his good churchman duties. Showed up 2-3 times a week, and it's good enough. Good enough for God. Good enough for me. And he was no mere churchman. You know, I can't say exactly how he said it last night, but you know, I got that when he said sometimes isn't people, and then we can all see ourselves there at the time because it's really well, we're going to die to our flesh and carry our cross, but we want Jesus to come. We want Jesus to be a part of our life. He said that. We don't really want His. His is a life of sacrifice. His is a life of sacrifice. His is life that'll cost you. It'll cost you everything. And yet sometimes we want Jesus to be part of our life. We want Jesus to come to our table. Jesus, we want you to come on our table and just be part of our life. You know, I'm thinking that's fair. But that's what we do. Jesus, that's what we've done. We just want Jesus to be part of our life. Have a good life. I'm thinking there's more to living than that. There's more to life than that. Jesus wants us to be part of His life, and He calls us to His table. And if we got other things, if we got a bunch of excuses, if we've got a bunch of things that we're hanging, clinging to, that's the thing. Isn't that the real rub? What are the things that we're clinging to that just are excuses that keep us away from the table? You can say, oh, that ain't me. I'm glory to God. I'm in that glory bunch. I'm in that one. Really? What does it take to make a man honorable? It's not passing on a feast day. It's not passing on a table. It's not saying, Lord, I got some other things. I'm going to come around, but I got some other things here. He says, son, come to the table. He calls us to the table. There's a wedding feast that He calls us to. It's a table, like David said. A table in the presence of my enemies. You know, I think that's what He's trying to do even here now. You know, He's willing to bring a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He said, I heard that word last night. That God's able to subdue our enemies. He wants to arrest. He wants to bring us to the table. In the midst of their fire and fury, He wants to bring a table that can sustain us. That can call us to go, God, glory to your name. Oh, you've rescued me. If I keep coming to you, you're going to be my hope and my deliverer and my liberator. And you're going to keep bringing me through. You're going to keep removing that taunt of the enemy. You're going to do that. He has a table in the presence of our enemies. Silence their voice and shut their noise. Table that requires our presence. You know, it's more than just a prayer. It's more than just holding to it. It's you know, these that showed up, they showed up by invitation, not by word. What did it say here? Those slaves went out the street, they gathered, they found both evil and good. That's what He called the evil and good. He called whoever would come. Whoever would let the wedding feast be something really important, whoever would let the table be so important to them, they wouldn't fail to come, but they would show up and their presence was needed. It was by invitation, not work or life effort. Yeah. The others had excuses based on work. You know what? They just didn't see the benefit. The benefit was at the farm. The benefit was with the team. The benefit was over there with the wife. The benefit. It was the benefit they saw someplace else and not the benefit of the table. The table requires our presence. The table commands a priority in our life. That's the second thing. He wants us to have the table that He calls us to. This table that David knows it was in the presence of our enemies. It was a table that needed to have a high priority. A high priority so that the enemies could be simply speechless, overtaken, arrested by His power. Our excuses for that is clinging to things and missing His rest. Clinging to things and missing His rest, because the table is a table of rest. It's to those who come to hear Him and recline at the table. It's a table of rest. I heard that word the other day, and I wrote it down, and I felt like the Lord wanted at some point just you know, if you get the point, God's calling you to rest. He's trying to bring us to a place of rest with Him, that table. It demands a priority. And to recognize it's a privilege. Look at Psalm 23 again. It says, "You prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in your house forever. Sounds like there's a recognized privilege there. Kind of recognize privilege to be in the presence. So oftentimes we've got excuses and we've not recognized the privilege. I mean, I just confess. I mean, are you like me? Are you a person like me? But I'm facing my struggles sometimes. I mean, we got other things. We're busy. We got other things. Oh, we got this. It's so busy. What's more busy than Him? What's more busy than His presence? What's more important than everything else? Is just an excuse if I'm missing it. My mom and I were talking about it the other day. Sometimes I thought I'm running in circles. So we'll give a God over you. And that's it. Let God do it. He has a strategy for success. Why do you think we, I've got sort of it's sometimes creative thing going on. I got 92,000 ideas. And you know, all of them may be great and wonderful. But every one of them caused me to misfocus on what is the one thing He wants to say. If the one thing He wants to say could set you free, sometimes we look at all kinds of things. Someone called me the other day and said, "Well, I got this. This lady told me this. She said this right here until the devil." And I said, "You got a bigger fish to fry in your life." I mean, it may be, but you know what I mean? You over here focused on that. And that right there caused you to completely miss the point of what God's trying to do in your life, to bring you to a place within your four walls of peace, where you make peace with Him. And you're not worn over here with this one, you're worn with that one, this one's saying that, and this one's overstepping their bounds, and they're too authoritative, and you're giving them that right. Go to the King and get your orders. Go to the King and get your orders. Otherwise, you're looking to someplace else, and folks will drive you. They'll tell you. They'll order you. They'll overstep their bounds.
Yes.
Some will speak right to you, but God wants to speak. And you know, we don't hear Him say it, it won't make any difference if anyone said it to us or not. But if we pick up, it's trying to say something to me through somebody else. God wants to speak to us. But it's a table that commands priority. It's gotta be a high value. You gotta recognize that the enemy, if that table were the enemy, it's gonna be subdued in my life. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed by my life. Get overwhelmed by stuff, and oh God, there's someone saying over here. This voice heard me. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know how to. You know, God's presence. Aim for God's presence. He said willingness. Last night, the Lord was willing. God wants to give us the willingness we don't have. You know, I found myself a number of months ago when I started reading this book on prayer, and it really blessed me. And one of the chapters, he advanced. One of the chapters is on desire. Saying, God, give me desire. It's almost like in a day, in a moment, it's like God gave me a desire that was not there. A desire for Him that was not there. God's like kind of lackluster, kind of low rocking along. God, I knew that desire for you. God's able to increase willingness that you're going to have to ask for. It's going to have to be a priority of saying, Lord, there's something at your tables in the presence of my enemies. You hear the enemy saying, God, I need a word from you that creates desire. It creates a willingness to say, you know what? I think you are better than that thing I'm holding up to. I think you're better than the land. I think you're better than that. And I thought, the only we get the deal, it seems like a greater temptation if we're not careful, if we don't go with God. Instead of getting easier, sometimes it seems like it's getting harder. All the things you possess, the things that you won't possess is, you won't possess you. And are you clinging to it like a monkey can't let go of the whatever thing that you're carrying that thing around with him? I don't know that story you're talking about, but you know, when a monkey reaches in and they catch it because he won't let go of whatever's in the whatever in the cage. He's dragging that thing around with him. What are we dragging around for clinging to? The table can ask for priority. He's asking us for a priority. You know, he said something the other day, and I can hear his heart that folks, where he's coming from. We had a church talent, this piece Jesus taught. We've been trying to We're a small body. We've been trying to have dinner. Every so month or so, we have a dinner and invite people and say, you know, these things that folks in our congregation look to our hurting. It's not likely it won't be church folks. It's just going to be someone's hurt. Somebody may be eligible, or somebody needs something. They just need somebody to love them and listen to them, speak into their life and encourage them. Let's just invite people, you know. I went out and I spent money on briskets and I'm telling you what. And started running. We had a meal there that there was so much food there, you could have brought your family and had 2 seconds and thirds, okay? You could have brought your family 4, 6, and had seconds and thirds, all of you. We could have fed half the country for all the food that we had. We had one person. And there was someone who'd been before, and they were believing. This wasn't, I thought, what are you trying to say to me? I think he's trying to say to me, you might need to go out there and beat the bushes a little harder. Beat the bushes. Look a little. Because he told us to go out there. The ones that you thought were going to come, and this kind of revelation came to you. You know, what I'm trying to do, Colin, anyway, you're out here in the middle. I think this brother's been out to our place where it's at. We're out in the middle of all the pasture, you know, when looks like a barn, you know. It just doesn't look like a church. We meet in the barn, you could say. And so, it's not a place people are going to. The regular folks aren't going to come. You know what I mean? It's just going to have to be someone's got to be anyway. So why do you stop trying? Why do you think I'm going to build something out of the old? I want to use old folks, so to speak, old people, old folks that've been doing the same old thing the same old way. You think I'm going to build something new? You're going to have to get out and. People are going to have to be converted. And to come on up in the house to even want to come in. Because there's no other reason why you want to. Unless I changed your life and we were excited and you wanted to come and fellowship with these people. But you know, I think I've identified with this parable. The caller just had one response. You know, the table, it really commands priority. God wants us to make it a priority and see it like David. It's a privilege. It's a table. You know, the ones that didn't come, that were invited, the first on the head guest list, that didn't come, it was not important. They saw absolutely no benefit. No benefit. What I'm doing over here, Jesus, is a little more important. You know what I mean? It's no benefit. We've got to see the benefit like David. It's got to be a priority. The table demands propriety. That may sound like a little play on words. Presence. He wants your presence. He wants your priority. He wants propriety. There's a certain way he's asking us to come. You know, there were wedding clothes involved. You know this parable. To read again. But propriety is defined this way. It's a way of behavior that's accepted. It's proper. It's morally correct. It follows the rules of moral correctness and behavior. You could say it's proper behavior in God's economy. Those who came all had propriety. Those who responded, those whose presence it was important to, they came and they brought their presence. Those who came, they came with propriety. They came with the right clothes. There was that propriety. Sometimes we want God to bring liberty. We want Him to bring release from the enemy's power. Or we want it on our terms. Even if He did, you're in a worse state. You're in a worse shape. You know what I'm saying? If we want it on our terms, if you gave it to us on our terms, you'd be in worse shape than you. You know what I'm saying? Really? Because you got no faculties to. You got no keeping power. You know what I mean? Oh, God did something for you. Great. Now what? The table. There's a table, a feast that He calls me to. It's a place of reclining at the table with Jesus. A place of rest. A place that He calls me to come recline with Him. Because if I don't get there, He's not going to do any much good. I rather think that if we learn to find that place and seek that place and get into that place, He's going to show us that table in the presence of our enemies. We'll see Him. He'll be subdued. We'll have the faculties to say, oh, I see. I see what the enemy's been doing to me. I see the lie that he's been. I see the deception. I see the deception of that sin and of my sin. You know, there's something. I heard someone say, there was a hoarse cry. Please, I could hear it from someone in the body. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to write. Jesus has the answer. He's the answer. My mom told me to call up one time years ago. I've been used to her telling me everything to do. So I was about 18 years, 17, 18 years. Hey, tell you every minute. Oh, what do I do? Let me tell you. You know, I was probably like 85 away out of West Texas. Telling me everything he did. So I called her one day. I said, I had this big decision. I said, Mom. I told her what all it was. You know, sometimes it takes me, I don't know why, because I'm just so kind of sometimes reserved about it. I went into this long, I tell her this was about to wear her out. It was a big long story. She said, well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I called you, I told you all the things. You tell me what to do. You're one of the phrase. You know what to do. I don't know what to do. You're going to have this. Yeah, you really are taking it. You're going to get before God. What do you mean? I mean, I'm just praying out to the, you know, how's that any answer? Oh, that's an answer. That's the best answer you're going to get. It is the best answer for you to work out your salvation, for you to work it out and find that table in His presence, because the blessing is for those who seek. Those who knock, those who ask, those who call and say, Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm going to wait on you until you find me or I find you, whichever happens first. That's what happened to Jacob, is that right? I'm not letting go. God, I need you to touch me with something. I need you to bless me. I'd rather think of deliverance and His hand that He wants to bring around is going to be when you begin to realize that what you're looking for is found in the place of life and death and surrender to everything and saying, well, okay. I'm done playing games and I'm holding on to you. I'm not letting you go until you give me an answer. Even if it's a little answer. Maybe it's one something He just wants me to keep walking and keep seeking. But it didn't have any propriety in my life. The garments to wear. He just said garment of propriety. Look at the story. It says, and he, when. First, I want to read on from verse 10. He says, their place was filled with the dinner guests, those who reclined at the table. Those who found a place of rest. You know, I think of reclined at the table, I think of the one who reclined in Jesus' bosom. Remember when they were all together at the table? Who would recline in Jesus' bosom? The one he loved. There's a picture of love there. Reclining at the table is a picture of rest, and it's a picture of the one whom Jesus loves. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's a fellowship there. That's not happening. That is an inseparable, indissoluble bond that God wants to bring into life. He'll do it when you and I find a place at a table. It becomes our presence, His presence, priority and propriety in our life. He says this, verse 11. But when the king came in and took a look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. He said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Speechless. Think about it. Well, in liberty there. Speechless. Didn't have an answer. His tongue was locked down, shut. Yeah, nothing to say to Jesus. That's not a good situation to be in. Nothing to answer for him. You know, those of us, sometimes we think we got the right answer. Some of us, you know, I remember the evangelism explosion thing they used to do a number of years ago. And I really took part in it. My mom did with some other lady in our congregation. And you go around and ask him, you know, they ask a question. You know, why should I let you into heaven? You know, the answer is, you know, it's not, but it better not be because of anything you think you're good at and you did, because you received Jesus and you prayed the right prayer. But that's become a thing like, we know the right answer. Oh, we know, you know, you better not say not our works. But Jesus didn't, you know, the right answer isn't going to be that for him that, you know, we got the right, quote, answer. You think it's going to be those who know him, who has a love relationship with him as friend. I believe that's the right answer. I don't know, it's just, well, I've heard a prayer about Jesus, and, you know, I asked you in my heart. Yeah. Glory to God. He does that, and He converts the sinner that way. Just that simple. But if no regeneration ever takes place, and we're still hanging on to that prayer, and we're missing that place, we're kidding ourselves. God wants us to have proper garments. He said, how did you get in here, friend, without wedding clothes? You know, sometimes we look at that and we think, He was cast out because he didn't have the right garments on, right? Think about something. This is kind of dawned on me that whoever got thrown out of a wedding because they didn't have, you know what I mean, the wrong color. This is what I picture this. You know, somebody's got a blue suit or a different color suit. No, you got the wrong. What's he talking about? You got the wrong garment. You don't have any wedding clothes. But except this is the way this impresses me. If you and I are the bride. The bride's the only guy to have the right attire on. Everybody else better dress up and become appropriate, but the bride is the one who has the white garments. The bride is the one. I think that's what's going on here. He was speechless. He had no plea. He had no plea whatsoever. No covering. Get that? No covering. Revelation talks about those who stand up, coming to four, are those who have washed their robes and they're keeping them white. You get that idea if you read Revelation. It's a sobering word. He's coming for those who are washing those robes and keeping them clean and keeping them white for pride. You know, I don't know what your theology is, but you can't get away from that spirit. There's a whole lot of folks, we've been hanging some theology on theology, but there's some words that are just flat sobering when we read them that it ought to cause us to go, oh God. You know my life, when we get there, it's just like it's sobering. It's sobering for a reason. Because God's trying to say, you know, it's not just a matter of having it all together, being in the right, you know, just because you got the right answers to it. And your name's on the list. You got the right pedigree. It's to those who show up. It's to those who attend the feast. It's to those who make it a priority. To those who have propriety. To those who have the clothes that are spotless. To those who have a plea. You know, and a plea is not what was I afraid to write prayer. That's all you got. That's a long plea. You know, I believe the plea is. The plea that gives me a voice. No plea speechless says I had no voice. It says I didn't know how to talk. I didn't even have to know how to talk in God's house. I didn't know how to. It says they don't pray like what it says. That we need a voice. No voice means there was no plea of fellowship born out of prayer. No voice. He was speechless because there was no plea of fellowship that was born out of prayer. God's calling us to come. He's calling us to commune with Him. Jesus said this in Revelation 3:20-21. I think the prettiest picture in all the Bible. That Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if anyone hears my voice, and he opens the door, I'll come in to him and I will do what? I'll dine with him." It sounds like a table, doesn't it? We'll sit down at the table and we'll dine. And it sounds like there's interaction, but sounds like there's prayer in life, prayer language, sounds like there's a communion in His presence, sounds like there's a table where He's giving me a fullness that I didn't have, and something that I desperately need. There's a plea born out of fellowship and prayer. He's saying, I want you to have a conversation there around the table. And He goes on to say in verse 21 of that same chapter, Revelation 3:21, He says this, that he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down. Sounds like a resting spot. Sounds like a place at the table. To him who overcomes. So it's to the overcoming. Revelation, you get that flavor in other places you read. It's to the overcoming. Say what you want, believe what you want, but the bottom line is it's to him who is overcoming, keeping his robes white. I don't know about you, but that changes things, really. It changes it from up here, just what I believe, and thinking, well, I'm on the list. And I skipped the feast this time. It's a feast that we really shouldn't do that. It's a feast we can't afford to be without. And there's a table in His presence that He wants. A table in His presence. The presence of our enemies that He wants to show us. He wants us to draw into. He wants to bring a fullness. And I keep thinking that word that I heard last night, severe. I don't know about you, but that's a refreshing thing. It says it brings that word into rest. I think, you know, when I'm thinking, oh no, God, I don't know. God, no. God, how? God, how? God's able to subdue your enemies. That's God. He's able to subdue. He just wants my place at the table. He wants me reclining at that table, even drawn into His bosom like John. Place of love. Can I tell you what? That's a really only safe place. I don't know. You know, that's the same place. But that's a relationship. You know, what's the place, and I can't even give you the chapter and verse, but you know, you'll know the place where He says, Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What's it talking about? Depart from me. What are all these things for? And we had form, we had function, we had church, we had this, we did this. He ain't interested in all of that on our terms of having Jesus come to our thing. You know, that's what we need to get straight. God, help Jesus, help me come to your thing. You know, help us, Lord, to see that. So we're looking on your terms and subdue our enemies. But I just want to close in word of prayer. That was the little thing that I have on my heart. Just as we pray, I want you to draw, enter into prayer yourself, but it's a prayer to say, Lord, subdue our enemies. Those things that assail us, the things that overwhelm us, the things that we go, God, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm seeing this thing you're sticking in my fingers. You know what I mean? I keep sticking here. How am I going to let go? It's to commit ourselves to say, Lord, I'm going to let go of it. But it's a prayer of St. Jesus. I'm asking, bring me to a table so that you cause strength to increase and love for you to abound and greater grace that you subdue that enemy and you arrest him. Now hear his voice. I don't have a desire of the enemy. I ask you to take it away. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we ask you to take away the desire for anything that's not pleasing to you. We ask you, Lord, to remove the clingy stickiness of that. And Lord, we're overwhelmed and saying, God, we don't know how. We just ask you, would you just help us to seek you, Lord, and draw into the table, that table that you promised us in the presence of our enemies, so that the enemy's voice, that his sound and his noise would be arrested. It would shut up. And that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak. I pray that each person is here. Each person is saying, yes, sir. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open up a window and a hearing ear and align with that person that would cause them to hear you clearer than they've ever heard you before. That the voice of the enemy, even if it's for a season, that you'd shut that voice down so that you might gain strength so that they could say, okay, that's it, I'm done. I'm leaving, I'm walking away. Lord, I ask you for the increase of strength that would come at your table, that you would subdue the enemy and arrest his power. Arrest him. Hold him up. Hold him in prison. Stop his power. And we ask in Jesus' name, we take authority over that power. That power, that lying spirit of the enemy, that deception of the enemy that says, it's better than you. It's better for you to be in with you. There's something better than you. There's an answer that's somewhere else besides what you can give me, Lord, in prayer, by the work of your Holy Spirit. Entirely the work by faith is something that you come to my, bring to my mind. Lord, we ask you. We thank you that word by faith is the only way we're going to get anything from you. I pray that for the one who prays that will believe you by faith, I ask you you would impart to them a deep knowing and knowledge in their spirit of what you're saying to them. A clarity like they've never seen before. I ask you in Jesus' name, open up clear vision, clear thinking in Jesus' name. At the table, I pray at the table, Lord God, they would see their place at the table. That their place at the table is a place, Lord God, of overcoming, where Jesus fellowships with them, and there is overcoming power. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to release overcoming power to overcome that power of the enemy, that lie of the enemy, that taunt of the enemy, that fear, that thing, that excuse that we've been making. That you deliver us from that in Jesus' name. We want to release it. We ask you, we want to be released from it. We ask you, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We thank you that yours are the power to subdue the enemy. And you're saying, I want you just to come to me. Well, I thank you that if it's the one who overcomes. You said you will give power. Lord, you give authority. You give power to overcome. Thank you that your table is the table of strength and fellowship. That in it, through it, you bring the power to overcome. Lord, we thank you for that. And we just want to receive. We bless you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for letting me be shared and said. We ask you, Lord, for the release of fullness in our life. To go beyond. We'll do more. To think to be more for your glory. To live more for your glory. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for the food, Lord, that you provide. Thank you for the hands that prepare. Lord, I just lift up the hands that prepare, especially. Lord, sometimes we thank you for the food. We thank you for those people. Every person that consistently has a part in that food, those who, all that's done here, just for our benefit. We thank you for that. We thank you for that love that went into something for our benefit.
Yes.
And we ask you to bless those hands in Jesus' name. Lord, sometimes I look back and I see heaviness. Mm-hmm. I see something that's, it ain't easy, whatever. Yes. Something to get carried. We ask in Jesus' name you to release all those that are, by their work of their hands, in Jesus' name, release them, Lord. Release your power into their life that overcomes and gives them grace and gives them strength. Thank you for the food and thank you for them. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Brother Kyle. I want to be obedient to the Lord. And before Brother Kyle got up there, I just thought, Lord, I know you want me to say something, but, you know, sometimes fear comes on us, you know, and I'm not a prophetic person, and I don't want to hinder the move of the Spirit. And the Lord kept saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. I'll have to read it anyway. I don't know it off by heart, believe it or not. But I like to read it from the Word, because the Word is right there in Matthew when he was bringing that out. And I thought, isn't that awesome, Lord, that he was talking about that rest? And you gave me that scripture just a little while ago, so just a few minutes, okay? So it's right in Matthew 11. It's right out of that same book. And I like to read it from verse, because I don't want to mess it up, okay? Matthew 11, and it says, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. So many of us come with heaviness on our hearts, and we have false yokes and false burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's where we learn of him, is at the table, around the table. And he says, and learn of me, from my, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then he told me to read Isaiah 30. And it's about the resting place that God is wanting to bring us, okay? And it's Isaiah 30, 15. And he says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. And not only saved, delivered and healed. And then it says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But back then they would not come to that rest. He says, but you would not. And then as Isaiah 32, it goes along with the rest. And as Isaiah 32, 15 through 18, and it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be counted for a forest, and judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and that's that resting place, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever, and my people shall dwell in the peaceable habitation and assured dwellings, that's that resting place around the table, and in quiet resting place. So God wants us to come to that rest and that peace and get the heavy yokes off us and the heavy burdens and gather around the table and feast off the bread of life.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.